Good morning, audio boo. It's Monday morning, 7:20. It's dark, it's cold outside, 1 degree. At least it's not snowing or don't seem to be any ice on the roads. Monday, lovely start of the week. It's going to be stupidly busy this week. Lots to do at work, and then I've got travelling at the end of the week, which I shall tell you about later in the week, and other stressful things. I've got to get a tile replaced on the roof that came down in a storm last week. Got a relative in hospital, I'm not saying anything about that. Stressful times. But anyway, a couple of interesting booze this morning, so that's what I was going to talk to. I've just been listening to Syzygy and SM2N, who are both people you should follow on Audioboo. Firstly, James Syzygy, talking about the proposals from the government for banning encryption. Now, this is fabulously stupid. It is really the most idiotic thing by far that Cameron has ever said. It's fatuous, attention-grabbing headline showing absolutely no understanding of what the implications of what he's said are. Now, all we can hope is this is just a headline-grabbing soundbite, because you can't ban because it would open up all sorts of problems. That things that depend on secure encryption, like banking, like e-commerce. If you put backdoors into secure protocols, then bad guys will find them and use them. We have enough security holes as it is without adding more. There's plenty you can read about it. The best place to start, if you look on Boing Boing, I think it's Cory Doctorow's article on it. Read that; it explains the arguments behind it. But what I wanted to say, it was actually an interesting point that James made, is that you could ban Snapchat, or you could put a backdoors in Snapchat and other secure messaging systems and monitor them. But the real terrorists aren't going to use that. Talking about hiding messages inside other messages, this is something called steganography. I love the example. I'm going to have a go with James's boo that he's hidden a Morse code message in the background. But even a proper steganography, there's no perceptual difference between the file with the message and the file without the message. You shouldn't be able to see it. This is used in digital watermarking, where you put, for example, copyright information into a file, and you can't see the difference. It's not a perceivable difference between the two files, but you're just flipping every thousandth bit, for example, to turn that into a message. There are plenty of ways of doing it. And not only do you put the message in there, you encrypt the message that's in there, so it's random noise. It is practically impossible to detect. The only way that you can detect it is if you know you've got a watermark or a message detector, and see if it fires, or if you've got two copies of a file with different watermarks, where you can compare them and find the bits that are different. But a single message hidden in a single file, practically there's no real way of detecting that. It's a stupid headline, and we can only hope it doesn't ever get implemented. The other point to make with that is, in France, they've got monitoring of emails, they've got armed police on corners, and it still didn't stop the Charlie Hebdo attack, which was, let's be honest, it was a high-profile target. So if there's anything that was going to be monitored and guarded, it would have been that office, and it still didn't stop the attack. There was no monitor on the email of these people who were supposedly on terrorist watch lists, so it didn't stop it. So it's a stupid idea. Second thing, a fascinating booth from Simon from SM2M, talking about purpose and intelligence and consciousness. This is something that really does interest me. You don't need a creator to get intelligence. Intelligence evolves. There's plenty of arguments and examples of how intelligence does evolve. The classic example is an ant's nest. An individual ant has no intelligence at all. It has a set of very simple rules that it follows. And there's no consciousness in an ant. There's nothing that's remotely equivalent to human intelligence. But a swarm of ants together will act in intelligent ways. They have purposeful goal-seeking behaviour. For example, finding a food source, and they will very, very efficiently find the shortest route to the food. They will leave a trail of pheromones that other ants will follow. They've got a simple rule that they will bring food back to the nest. And that's intelligent behaviour. That is something that is a very simple creature that has evolved, and we can see how it has evolved. The other thing is, you don't need consciousness to be intelligent. Do you need a purpose to be conscious? Well, again, no. And this is something that Dan Dennett, there's a famous book called Consciousness Evolves, where he demonstrates that you can evolve consciousness. And he doesn't need to have a creative purpose behind it. The parts of the brain are all very simple. An individual neuron is just an on-off switch that fires when it reaches a particular electric potential. Putting lots of them together, the human brain is possibly the most complex structure in the known universe. In terms of the number of connections, the number of neurons, and we have very little idea of how it works. But something, this combination of all these little individual things, like with the ant's nest, individually there's nothing there. Collectively, there is something there, and it's a fascinating subject. But again, brains have evolved from the most simple organisms up to where we are now. Does it need a creator for that? No. Whether there's a first cause, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But we know pretty much how the universe has unspooled since the very shortest period after the Big Bang. And we've got pretty good ideas of how it's all come together. So you don't need a creator. Or if there is a creator, then he or she didn't have to do very much. Interesting subject and a fascinating philosophy. So I can see why people find it difficult. There's the whole issue, and this is probably, I've only got a minute left, there's the whole issue of determinism and free will, and you can have free will in a deterministic universe, you can have a completely deterministic universe and still have free will, and that's another Dan Dennett, so go and read Dan Dennett. I may well talk about that, but this would be fascinating. This is something that would be great to listen to other people's views on. Whether you have religious beliefs or not, but it's something that really does interest me. Anyway, so I've got 30 seconds left, so I'm going to close it here while I'm in a queue of traffic and it's safe to pause it. And I'll speak to you all again soon. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll tell you all about my adventures at the end of the week.